love Jesus tonight? Is he real to you tonight? Come on. Come on. He's alive. You know, he's not the figure that you... It's really something. As we're going to get in the Word, you can turn to Acts chapter 5 to start out with Acts chapter 5. But as we get into the Word tonight, the craziness that's going on in the country. There's a group of people that are upset that there's some white Jesuses. They want to take all the statues down of white Jesuses. And we all know he wasn't white. I mean, you know, he was... But it's just nuts. But I'll tell you this. It's all a plot of the enemy to divide, conquer, and just don't get involved with it. Right? Don't get involved with it. Love everybody. Love them. You know, there may come a time where we have to take a stand, but I just believe that God's going to see us clear of everything in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, let's pray over the Word tonight. Father, we just thank you for your Word. We thank you for the opportunity to speak your Word, Lord. I thank you that the entrance of your Word brings light or illumination. So as we're preaching your Word tonight, as we're going over what you put on my heart tonight, I just believe that your anointing is going to be used to touch people's hearts. And we expect tonight, Father, to have more insight from you because of your Word. And we just give you the glory and the honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We've been doing a series on love, acceptance, and forgiveness. And the basic premise or the way that I'm doing it has been this, is that I want you to know that you're loved and that you're accepted and that you're forgiven. So go do it. You know, go do likewise. You know, and that's how we have to greet people. That's how we have to know people. That's how we have to, you know, expect God to use us. If we really want the love of God to be displayed through us, and that's been my heart's cry, then we need to come to the place where we're just trusting him with us, and that we can rely on him to give us his love for other people. Amen? Glory to God. But I just want to point this one verse out in Acts chapter 5 and verse 31. Him, God, he's talking about Jesus. Him, God has exalted to his right hand to be the Prince and Savior, and to give repentance to Israel and the forgiveness of sins. We want to talk tonight about forgiveness. Sometimes we look at forgiveness, I'm forgiven. God's forgiven me. I know that. You know, I prayed. I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior, and forgiveness came for me. But forgiveness is much more powerful than we've ever thought possible. And the fact is, if you get a hold of what I'm telling you tonight, it can unlock some things that maybe have been locked for a long time. You know, that we're all kind of in our souls, in our minds, in our emotions. Sometimes we're just locked in a place and we can never seem to get free of it. We just, year after year after year after year. Is it ever going to change? Yes, it's going to change. Let me say that again. Yes, it's going to change. We know that when we go to be with Jesus, everything's going to change, right? But we don't have to wait till then. We can put his Word to work and watch it happen now. But we've got to be open to that, right? I was talking with Kim Ware today, and she'll be here, I believe it's the 16th, 17th, and 18th. That's a Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. So we'll have meetings here on Sunday, Monday night, and then Tuesday night. So what's that? Of August. So, cool. But look at that again. Jesus is the Prince. This is so cool. I just love this. He made him to be Prince and Savior and to give repentance to Israel and the forgiveness of sins. Jesus is the one that God sent so that our forgiveness would be settled. And that's not something that he's going to do in the future. That's something that he's already done in the past. So he's paid the price for your forgiveness. That's so cool. I'm forgiven. Right? I'm forgiven. I'm forgiven. You may hold something against me, but God doesn't. God doesn't. God doesn't even hold me against me. You know, because I'm just like all of you. I'm searching for God's best and trying my best to do what He wants me to do. But I'm not perfect like, you know. Well, there's a couple of you that are perfect, I know, sitting out here tonight. But the reality is that we're all striving for that. Go to Acts 26. Acts 26. I just want you to know you're forgiven tonight. So if you've been forgiven, and then you're reminded in your thought life to come back to where guilt comes back, who do you think that's from? Come on, it's from the accuser of the brethren, right? He wants you to stay under condemnation when Jesus has already released you from that condemnation. But you've got to apply forgiveness and stand in forgiveness. And watch this, you may not feel forgiven. Because in your mind you're going, He could never have forgiven me for that. I mean, how many times is He going to forgive me? Because I keep coming back to Him over the same thing, over and over and over and over. Well, He's the Prince of Forgiveness. That's what He does. That's what He does. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father, ever making intercession for us. Come on. You got to look at it. He's taking me before the Father every day. And in Him and in His blood, I'm forgiven. Glory to God. I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. Come on, is that true? It's so true. Look at verse 13, 26, 13. And this is Paul recounting his conversion. But watch this. In verse 23, that Christ would suffer much and be first to raise from the dead and would proclaim the Jewish people and to the Gentiles. And thus, wait a minute, I'm all wrong. 13, verse 13, I went to 23. I thought, that's not right. Okay, verse 13. I told you I wasn't perfect. At midday, O king, along the road I saw a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, shining around me, and those who were journeying with me. And when we all had fallen to the ground, I heard a voice speaking to me and saying, in the Hebrew language, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It's hard for you to kick against the goats. Just think about it. Just sometimes when you're reading the Bible, just use your imagination. You know that thing that everybody tried to drive out of you when you were kids? Begin to use that and go, wait a minute, man, what if I was walking with Paul? And all of a sudden, a light came from heaven that was so bright it knocked us all to the ground. Well, what's that? What? You know, it would get your attention, I think. And then listen to Paul. He says, so I said, who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom you're persecuting. Watch this now. This is so cool. He said, I'm Jesus whom you're persecuting. Jesus was in heaven. How could Paul be persecuting Jesus? Because he was persecuting his church. It's his body. Right? So Jesus takes it personally when we're persecuted. How many are ready to be persecuted? Doesn't that sound like fun? But the reality is, I want to tell you, the reality is if we live long enough in this world and it gets darker and darker and darker, persecution is going to come. Let her come. Why? Because that'll be exciting. Why? Because God will show up. The church will stand strong, will stand bright. The power of God will be displayed. So it's not something to be afraid of, not if God is with us. Verse 16. But arise and stand on your feet, for I've appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness, both of the things which you have seen and of the things which I will yet reveal to you. And I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles, to whom I now send you, to open their eyes in order to turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me." That's so cool. Paul's saying, "I'm sending you to the Gentiles." Did you know that this call, this very thing right here, is why you're sitting in here tonight? It's why you're listening tonight. It's because God said, "I'm not just going to go to the Jews only, but I'm going to go to the Gentiles also." Hallelujah. And it's all about faith in who Jesus was. He's the Prince of Forgiveness. He's the one that paid the price for our forgiveness. Why did we need to be forgiven? That seems obvious, right? Kind of, if you've walked around me a lot, you'll know why. But the reality is, the reason that we needed to be forgiven is that we've all sinned. And not just that we've sinned, but if you go back to our great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great- sin did is it separated us from being able to be in the presence of God, or for God to be present with us. Right? He couldn't walk with us because he can't be around sin, because he's all light. Right? He's all goodness. And so what is sin? I mean, you all know this, but somebody said sin is missing the mark. But really what sin is doing your own thing in contradiction to what God has set out as in his plans and his purposes. So sin can be things that you do. Actually, sin can be things that you don't do. Right? And sins of commission or omission. You know, all of the things, if God has told you to do something, you don't do it, it's sin. Right? And so all of us are in that same boat. We want to categorize it because it makes us feel better, right? That's a big sin up here, and this is a little sin down here, right? And I'm not doing the big one, so I'm not as bad as, you know, the guys that are on the other side of the tablet. But the reality is the littlest sin is enough to contaminate us, to keep us from the presence of God. Think of it this way. I've got a nice glass of water here. I wish we could have one in here. A nice glass of water is this tall. And all I'm going to do is put a drop, just a drop of arsenic in it. Well, wouldn't you drink that? Why? But it's just a little poisoned. Do you get the picture? So all of us were in that condition of sin. So we all needed his forgiveness. But the good news is we all have it. But watch what he says. In verse 18 again, at the last part of it, he said, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified, set apart, brought into my family, by faith in me, by believing in Jesus, by believing in what God said to him. Tonight, do you believe in Jesus? Is Jesus the Lord of your life? That's the condition for the forgiveness to be applied to your heart. It's not like, well, God's forgiven everybody. In essence, he's already paid the price for everybody to be forgiven. But it's belief and accepting him and making him the Lord of your life that applies it to your own heart. Go to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. God is so good. Colossians chapter 1. I can't tell you enough that how good it is to know that I've been forgiven. I've been forgiven. I don't have to doubt it. I don't have to go over it again and again and again and again and again. I've been forgiven. So have you. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 14. It says, well, let's go to verse 13. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of his Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of his sins. Now, I just want to break that down a little bit. What does that mean? That means that we needed to have our sins forgiven. And Jesus came to earth for the very purpose of dying on the cross and spilling His blood as the atoning sacrifice for our sins. But He did that. I said He did that. And it's when you apply it to your heart that your sins are forgiven. Forgiven. Now let's look at forgiveness. We're going to look at it here in the Greek, but we're going to look at it also in the Hebrew. But forgiveness means the pardon of sins, or the release from bondage, the remission of the penalty. Let me say that again. It's the pardon of sins, it's the release from bondage, and it's the remission of the penalty. So not only am I forgiven, but that very forgiveness has released me with the penalty that was associated with whatever that was. And if you have any sin that's on your books, then you will not go to heaven. You will not be with Jesus. You will be in hell, period. It's not what God wants, but He's given you the very thing that you need in order to have those books cleaned, right? But we must come to the place where we understand that. But once you've applied the blood to your heart, we've got to know and have an assurance that He's with us, that He's in us, that He's doing this for us. Glory to God. God is with you. God is for you. God wants you to know it. Hallelujah. Go to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew 26. Get some scripture in tonight. Matthew 26. When I get there, you're going to know these verses because we say them all every time we do communion. Right? This is where Jesus was at the Last Supper, and He was, you know, He's finally going to go. His buddies, His compadre, even the close three, they didn't get it. They still didn't get it. Because it was too far out there. Right? I mean, think it cut Him some slack. He wouldn't have got it either. But listen to what He says now in verse 27. Matthew 26 and 27. He took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for the remission of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." There's so much right there, but watch this. He said that it's the cup of my blood, which is the very it's the very thing that ratifies, seals, and documents the covenant that I'm establishing right now. And this covenant wasn't really between us and God. This was between God and Jesus. Our entrance into the covenant is believing that Jesus actually did the work. But He says the remission of sins. That's an interesting term because it's an accounting term. My daughter has got an accounting degree, and it's really fun to watch her start to go to the books. But she's got to have this side balanced with this side, right? And if the books aren't balanced, she's got to stay at it until she finds that last penny. Where I'd have made a line thing, what, $40? That's no big deal. I'll just fix it, and that's what I have, right? But not her, because why? The books would not be balanced. And this remission has to do with balancing the books. Jesus, when He went to the cross, balanced your books. You're forgiven. And that forgiveness means that you're all right with God. You are all right with God. God's not mad at you. God's not upset with you. It reminds me of the story. You guys probably heard it before, but the story of this guy had a dream or something, went to heaven, and he went into this room. It was a huge room, cavernous room, and from floor to ceiling, it was very tall, were nothing but file cabinets, one after the other, and they were all in alphabetical order. Well, he went, he just went, man, what is this? And he went, Jesus walked in the room, and he went to the place where this man's name was. And he pulled out the long drawer. Oh, George Smith. George A. Smith. Oh, yeah, from Toledo, Ohio. George A. Smith from Toledo, Ohio. Let's pull your file out. And the file was this thick of things that in his life, both good and bad, but mainly the bad ones were the ones George was worried about. I said, oh no, I have no chance of remaining in heaven. I have no way. And Jesus pricked his finger to where blood was flowing out, and every line item he erased with the blood. You see, that's you tonight. That's me tonight. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Right? What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Now, see, here's what I want you to see. Because forgiveness has balanced the books, you're already whole as far as he's concerned. Jesus didn't, and God didn't go up there and go, oh, I saw what they did today. I've had it. It's over. I'm done. Because I'm tired of getting back up on that cross every time Bruce messes up. But sometimes, even in our own lives, that's how we present or that's how we apply what we know, because our minds are so under condemnation that we don't understand that the covenant has been established so that I'm forgiven and that debt has been wiped out. My sins have been remitted. Glory to God. I'm forgiven. I'm going to show you tonight where this is so important to get, and I think it's what has kept us from receiving some things that God really wanted to get to us. Well, the good thing about it is when the devil's found out, right, then he's got to pay. And when he's found out, then we can rejoice. Go to Luke chapter 4. Matthew, Mark, Luke, chapter 4. Listen to this. Verse 17. It says, and he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the recovery of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those that are oppressed. Now the word that's in there, liberty, and it's in there twice, it's actually the same word for forgiveness or remission, because he's released you from the penalty that was associated with anything that you did that would cause these things to be in your life. But if we can't believe that, if we don't believe that, then there's something inside of us that will hinder our ability to believe that God would really do that for me. He said, I'm anointed. How many know He's the same yesterday, today, and forever? Right? And so if Jesus was anointed to do that then, it still applies to you and me now. In fact, the Bible says that Jesus came and He established better promises, just because His covenant is better. And so watch this. If His covenant is better, and this was before He went to the cross, how much more after the cross that this would apply to us? Now again, look at this. He's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. What's the gospel? That means good news. He said in John, He said, I didn't come to condemn the world, but I came that the world through me might have life. But who has that life? Those who believe in me. Believe that I did what I said I'd do. Right? And so in this, we have to believe that we're forgiven because it opens the door to these things. What things? To heal the brokenhearted. I'm not worthy to be healed of anything because of my actions, but because I've been washed with the blood, because I've applied the blood to my heart, it's His blood that makes me a candidate to be healed of my broken heart. Is that good? That's for all of us tonight. That's for all of us. That's for everyone that's sitting here, everyone that's watching online. It's for all of us. Now watch this. So we can have our broken heart healed. To proclaim liberty to the captive. I'm forgiven, so liberty is a remission of the penalty, makes me free no matter what anybody else says or what anybody else, you know, does. I'm free. Even if I don't feel free, even if it seems like I'm living in bondage, He's already set me free. I just got to walk around. I'm free in Jesus. I'm free in Jesus. I'm free in Jesus. I'm free in Jesus. Come on. The recovery of sight to the blind. Come on, I was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. Some of us don't feel like we can ever hear from God or the Spirit of God could even speak to us through the Word of God because we have such condemnation on us that why would God do that for me? Jesus. Let me answer that for you. Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Jesus, 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 Jesus. It's because of His blood. Now, here's the deal. When He looks at you, He looks at you as complete. In Christ. Because you're forgiven. Do you understand? You're forgiven. It's just as if, and I love this, He's justified us from our sins. And I like what one guy said. He said, it's just as if you hadn't done it. I'm forgiven. I'm forgiven. Tonight you're forgiven. People might not forgive you, but they're not the ones that count. It's God that counts. But watch this. When you really get this into your heart, you know, He's forgiven me for so much. What? Everything. The biggies, the little ones, the ones yesterday, the ones 10 years ago, the ones 100 years ago. I'm forgiven. I no longer have to bring those up. So good. So good. Go to Hebrews chapter 9. I believe that's why the devil does not like, and you'll understand what I'm saying, the blood songs. He doesn't like the blood songs. Why? Because the blood is what enforces the covenant, which pays the price for our freedom. In Hebrews chapter 9, in verse 22, it says, and according to the law, almost all things are purified with blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. In other words, without Jesus shedding his blood and without him taking our place, there's no way for us to get the book straightened out. But the good thing is, he did. Come on, he did. I've told the story over and over again, but I'm going to tell it one more time. Because I have the mic and I can. Years ago, we were renting the Feller Center in Belfair. And one of the classrooms that we used for Sunday school was also a classroom that they used for the elementary school. Well, we had this curriculum that we were using, and one of the illustrations was, and we didn't use this particular one, but one of the illustration was, just think about it, you make this paper mache lamb, and on the inside you put a bladder of red food coloring. And as you're talking to the kids, you're talking about how that the lamb was slain and the blood is, you know, all of that. So we didn't use that, but the teacher found this curriculum. And so somehow they thought and got it twisted that we were doing blood sacrifices and you know, and the Feller, you know, that type of thing. Anyway, it just got all twisted. And they were going to kick us out. and so I had we had a meeting, and I went and met, and it was the lady who was the manager, and then her boss was there too, and at one point in the conversation, she said, "I don't know why you Christians make such a big deal out of the blood." And man, it just rose up inside of me. I'm telling you, it was like I wasn't there and somebody else was, you know, giving me the words and the power behind the words. I said, because without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. Without the shedding of Jesus' blood, it would be impossible for us to get to heaven and live with God forever and have his presence on the inside of us right now, have access to his throne right now. Whew. Chapter 10, verse 16. "This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts and into their minds. I will write them." And then he adds, "Their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Now where there is the remission of these, there is no longer an offering for sin." Why? There's no need. There's no need. You don't have to beg God to forgive you of sins that you've already put under the blood. But yet I see it all the time. People under condemnation, but you don't understand what I did. Well, when did you do it? It was 1975. It was a biggie. It was a biggie. His blood's enough for the biggies and the littlies, right? And everything in between, right? It's enough. His blood is powerful. But his blood is the very thing that stamps on your folder, forgiven. Forgiven. I'm forgiven. I'm forgiven tonight. If Jesus walked into the room, you understand? If he walked into the room, I would not have to be ashamed. Over and over again, I see this where some, you know, the presence of God comes in the room and they fall on their face. But time after time, whether it's an angel or Jesus, he lifts them up and says, "Do not be afraid." Why? Because you belong here. Fear is a result of an unrenewed mind to the fact of forgiveness and covenant. But when we can get to the place where, no, I'm forgiven. I'm walking in the freedom that is in him. It's so good. All right, we'll close with this. Might take a while to close, but we're going to close with this. Psalm 32. Psalm 32. And again, as we've said before, when we understand how loved we are, when we understand how accepted we are in him, and when we understand how forgiven we are in Him, then it doesn't matter who walks into your life or who's done something to you, you can understand that, wait, the same potential is available for them. Have you, now I'm going to ask you a question. I don't want you to raise your hand and say, yeah, I have. No, I don't. How many of you have ever said to somebody else, go to hell? Right? I'll just say I have, right? I in my past, I haven't since I've been saved. Well, you would never say that if you understood what it was. You would never wish that on the worst enemy. I hope you burn in hell. You don't know what you're saying. You don't. An eternity forever and ever outside of the presence of God. Outside of His love, outside of His peace, outside of His joy. Torment, gnashing of teeth continually. That's hell. It's real. And there's millions of people that are in there or going there simply because they haven't received Jesus. They haven't received the forgiveness that would have kept them out. They haven't applied the blood to their heart. And many of them had opportunity after opportunity, but yet wouldn't. Pride and other things. I'll tell you this story of a man, and he was in Masons, and he was pretty high up in the Masons, and he was on his deathbed, and a young lady went into the room and just for 4 hours presented the gospel and said, "Come on," and he turned to her and said, "I just can't," and he died that night. How tragic is that? And unless he came to his senses between that time somehow, he's eternally lost. He's without God. He will forever and ever be outside of the presence of God because he would not accept the forgiveness that was offered. Something. Psalm 32, verse 1. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. Watch this. This is so cool. Again, the word for forgiven in the Hebrew is when you forgive, you lift somebody up. You bear up what they're struggling with. You carry away the very thing that they were burdened with. Blessed is the person who God has forgiven. He's not only, He's forgiven you in the sense that He's lifted it off of you. He's borne it upon Himself. He bore it upon the cross, right? So good. And He carried away. The scapegoat, in the Old Testament, there was a scapegoat that they poured the blood on and they sent him out into the wilderness to never come back. Well, that was just symbolic of what Jesus did. He took our sins. He was our scapegoat. And the forgiveness says that I'm free from that sin and the penalty thereof. Listen to this. Imputed. Imputed. And let me read that again. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, does not impute their sins. Now listen to this definition. It means to think about, to take account of, to charge, or to reckon. So God doesn't think about the penalty of the sin that you've committed because you're forgiven. God doesn't, He absolutely doesn't take account of it because the accounts have been cleared. He doesn't have a charge for you when you get to heaven. He's just imagine yourself walking in the courtroom of heaven. And you're sitting there, and God's on the throne, and the accuser of the brethren's over here, and he's going to tell them everything bad about you. And you're sitting there, and you go, oh, my God, I'm in so much trouble here. Oh, I'm guilty. and your defense attorney stands up. And he's got a scar in this hand and a scar in this hand. And he says, not guilty because of the blood. I plead the blood. That sin, I plead the blood. That mistake, I plead the blood. Mr. Devil, I plead the blood over that. Come on. Because I've been forgiven. I've been forgiven. You've been forgiven. He loves us so much. And He's not imputing it to us. I truly believe this. I believe that we talk to God about things that He doesn't remember. You know, think about it. Lord, you know how I've tried to quit this and I've tried over and over and over again. And God, I'm coming again, but you know, Lord, He doesn't remember once you've applied the blood. Right? He doesn't. He doesn't. So why keep going over in your own mind the things that are leading you to live a life of condemnation when He's freed you from it? Because His anointing has already done it. Okay, I lied. Go to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. Hallelujah. Now, you've read this before, but I want you to really think about it right now. 1 John chapter 1. Verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and then to remind us of them every day. That's not what it says, is it? It says, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What does that mean? Listen, when He forgave you, He cleaned you up. Your robe is white. It's not yellow. It's not dingy. It hasn't been sitting in the attic too long. The covering, because of the blood, has made you pure, holy, right with God. So tonight, kick condemnation in the teeth and say, no more. I will no longer sit under that in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Well, let's pray. Father, I thank You that we've been forgiven, and I thank You for every person that's listening to this message, God, that You are burning this into their hearts. And for those who don't know You, Lord, those who've never accepted You or maybe walked away from You, I'm asking You, Lord, just to lead them back to You. And Satan, I just bind Your powers over the minds of those who You've darkened. And You have to let go and let them hear the truth from the Word of God. Then they can make a decision. But God, I ask You to just love them and lead them to You in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you never made Jesus the Lord of your life, just come to Him. Ask Him to touch you. Ask Him to bless you. Say, Father, forgive me of my sins. I need a Savior. Jesus is the Savior. I just receive Him right now. Jesus, be Lord of my life. And the Bible says He'll come to you and He would in no way cast you out. So be blessed tonight. And we just thank You for tuning in and just go with God. Father, we thank You for filling people with the Spirit, healing them in their bodies, Father, providing for them. All the things that You do so well and is available to us all because we're forgiven. Thank You, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.